Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Let's jump straight in. Tech Guide. This was a real effort to push into that growing consumer space, very competitive space in Australia. Tech Guide. It does give the user plenty of options, whether you're working or viewing content on the device.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
Knowing Apple, you just don't know what to expect. Tech Guide. They've gone from taking an excellent device and they've made it even better. It's had a redesign inside and out.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide episode 124, the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. It's great to have your company once again, and welcome aboard. If you're a first timer, we're going to make it worth your while. My name is Stephen Fenwick, and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. We try and work out your technology personality type this week. Also, Netflix is coming to Australia, finally, and the right cloth to keep your devices clean. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to take a look at the Kobo Aura H2O waterproof e-reader, the Bang & Olufsen BeoPlay A2 Bluetooth speaker, and the unusual-looking BlackBerry Passport. And we'll close it out with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. Tech Guide, let's kick it off.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Well, as Aussies, we love technology and we're very early adopters. We like buying our devices and using them. We're avid gadget users, gadget lovers. And there's been some new research released by in partnership with Microsoft, and a gentleman named Jonathan Hutchinson, who calls himself a digital ethnographer. So I think he's someone who analyzes people, their digital habits. And they've come up with these distinct tech personality types. So this research is based on the way we use our products. So the way we consume content, use our products, share content. So this sort of adoption and behavior has been examined by these people. And they've come up with six distinct personalities for digital consumers. So of these six, I'm sure you can probably identify with one of them. Let's run through them now. There is six, as I mentioned. The first one is the creator. Now, as its name suggests, this is someone who's always working on a new project, sharing ideas, coming up with ideas, and trying to use their devices, their technology, to turn that idea into reality, to make it come through. And you'll often find them tapping away on their device, working on various projects and things all the time. Next up, we've got the sharer. Now, I'm sure we know plenty of these people in our lives. These are the people who love to document all their experiences, no matter how mundane we believe them to be. But they take lots of photos and really catalog their experiences and often post them on social media. I'm sure we know a few people like that. Then there's the tinkerer. Now, this is the curious type. This person is curious about all technology, looking for ways technology can help them and create shortcuts. And they like to be the smartest person in the room, showing their know-how and identifying, trying to be that first adopter of the next big thing. Next up, we've got the self-improver. Again, very descriptive description there, very descriptive on what it's about. And this is the person who wants to get the job done, very eager to learn how technology can help improve them, improve their skill set. So someone who's looking to make their lives a little easier, improve their careers, this is the sort of person who is the self-improver. Then we've got the spectator. Now, this is the sort of person who is on social media, but more an observer, not really contributing to the conversation, but enjoying it nonetheless, being in the background, consuming these experiences and stories in real life and online as well. And they use their device to check out what the latest trending stories, without contributing any themselves. They're just very much consuming everyone else's content. And last up, we've got the Make Doer. Now, this is kind of the more casual, more laid-back user who only uses technology when they need it. It's not an essential thing for them. It's just something they need from time to time. They're not entirely focused on it. They're more focused on things in the real world. So they're rather than they're interacting and being very social, they'd prefer to meet people in person or go for a surf or do these sort of things, the actual things in your life. They live pretty low tech, prefer that real world interaction though against typing on a screen to someone who isn't with you. So they're those six distinct personality types. I'll run through them quickly once again: the creator, the sharer, the tinkerer, self-improver, the spectator, and the make doer. Which one are you? You can log into techguide.com.au and find out.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide.
Keeping you updated and educated.
Well, there's been a lot of noise about this next story, and that's it. That is about Netflix. Netflix have last week finally announced that they are coming to Australia. There's been a few false starts. Netflix, are they coming? Are they not? Well, they've confirmed they are going to be in Australia launching in Australia, as well as New Zealand, by the way, in March 2015. So that's 4 months away. We're going to see Netflix in Australia. Now, why is this significant? Well, it's significant for a number of reasons. The Netflix service has been a very popular one in the US, hugely popular, so popular, in fact, that they are now producing TV series to be aired exclusively on Netflix. The two that come immediately to mind are a couple of favourites of mine. The first is House of Cards, starring Kevin Spacey. They've had two seasons, a really addictive political type show, like a drama. The whole story unfolds each week. It's terrific viewing, and it was released on Netflix. Kind of set created a new trend for releasing an entire series all at once. Traditionally, we see a series released a week at a time. That's kind of the broadcast model. 1 week, the show is aired, then you got to wait another week, and so on. Well, what Netflix decided to do with House of Cards was to release each season at the same time. So all 13 episodes, or 12 episodes, I can't remember which, but all of them, anyway, were all released simultaneously. So you could binge watch this show in a weekend. In a day, if you had the time. That was the same thing for both series. So season one, season two, House of Cards, all at once. Second show they've done that with is Orange is the New Black, the prison show. Also had two seasons, set in a woman's prison, and intriguing, the interaction between the prisoners and their relatives on the outside, and them just dealing with the day-to-day rigors of life behind bars. Again, a Netflix success story that has really made that service even more valuable. Now, they're coming to Australia, and from what we're hearing, these series that I just mentioned, which are currently airing on Foxtel, apparently there's already negotiations in place to remove the Australian rights from Foxtel so they can be aired on Netflix when it launches in March. Now, the potential for this to really change the viewing dynamic in Australia is very high. This is going to be quite disruptive because a lot of those landmark shows like House of Cards, like Orange is the New Black, are the reason why people take up a Foxtel subscription in the first place. So this is going to put a little bit of pressure on Foxtel, who, by the way, conveniently have just launched a whole new campaign. You know, you can have the Foxtel service from $25 a month. So they've relaunched everything, new channels, box set features, the whole box and dice in a bid to entice new subscribers and keep them on 2-year contracts. I think when we see Netflix's offering, and they haven't, by the way, mentioned anything about price, haven't mentioned anything about the type of all-you-can-eat service, which is what they offer in America for only $8.99 US, which is about, let's say, 11 bucks Aussie dollars. So if it can stay comparable to that price, I suspect it'll probably be about 15 to 20 bucks a month for that all-you-can-eat TV movie service, then I think Foxtel is going to have a fight on their hands for viewers. So time will tell. Even free-to-air really has to kind of reinvent the way that it broadcasts shows. They talk about fast tracking and all these sorts of things. I think the landscape's going to change dramatically once Netflix enters the Aussie market. Now, there's a few new shows that are going to be Netflix exclusives, one called Bloodline, which stars an Aussie, actually, Ben Mendelsohn. There's also Marco Polo, about the famous explorer. Another show called BoJack Horseman are going to be also in the Netflix programming in 2015. And if they're anything like House of Cards and Orange is the New Black, there's going to be people lining up to get the service. As I mentioned, pricing will be released closer to that March launch date, but we are eagerly awaiting that date. If you want to read more about that story, head over to techguide.com.au. Now, we're always touching our devices. You think about it, our smartphones, our tablets, even our laptops. We're typing on the keys, we're touching the screens, we're putting them to our faces. It can become quite a dirty little device. And by that I mean a lot of bacteria, a lot of germs, grease from your fingertips and fingerprints, and all these sorts of all this sort of muck on your screens can actually be dangerous. That bacteria that exists on that device. I remember writing a story on Tech Guide that your screen can be up to 10 times dirtier than a toilet seat. So, and this is something we bring into our face and touching with our hands, and we might even touch our hands to our face later on, and who knows? It wouldn't be hard to get sick from your own device. Well, with that in mind, I think people need to put a little bit more thought in keeping them clean. And one way to do that is with the new mobile cloth from PC Range. Now, low-tech product, but for a high-tech solution here. So you keep your high-tech devices clean and bacteria-free. Now, these aren't any old cloths. These have been specially designed. They're made out of microfiber. And the reason they're called microfiber is because the fibers are each 100 times thinner than a human hair. Now, that is thin. And what they've done, they're woven in a special way so that when you wipe it across your screen, it catches more of the fingerprints and also kills off 98% of bacteria off your device. And that's with no other chemicals. So you can choose to use this wet or dry. So if you want to spray some cleaner on it, then that's going to really take everything off. But even without chemicals, it can still wipe out 98% of bacteria. And you think about what we're using it on. We're talking smartphones, tablets, even touchscreen laptops. A lot of laptops have touchscreens nowadays. It's also safe to use with lenses, camera screens. Every digital camera's got a screen on the back. All kinds of uses, even small TVs. Our desktop computers as well all have screens, all need to be cleaned, and the mobile cloth from PC Range is just the one to do it. Now, each mobile cloth pack, which is priced at just $10.99, so it's probably one of the cheapest products we've ever spoken about on Tech Guide, it contains two cloths, so one small 4-inch square nano cloth and another 9-inch square classic cloth. So the small cloth for your smartphone, larger cloth, laptop, tablet, other bigger devices. There's also a 5-pack, so you can pay $17.95 for the mobile cloth classic pack, which has 5 multicolored classic cloths, so you can each colored cloth can be assigned to a different device. So red's for my laptop, blue's for the desktop, green's for the tablet, and yellow is for my smartphone. So all these different uses, it is really worth looking at, because you think of who uses your device. If you're a parent, often your child's using your device, they could pick up something off the screen, you know, put the finger in their mouth, they could get sick. So I think it's something that we really need to pay attention to, really need to eliminate that risk of us getting sick from our own devices. So something to definitely consider. If you want to check out what it looks like, you can have a read of our story at techguide.com.au. The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. And how many Wi-Fi devices do you have at home? There's laptops and tablets and smartphones, gaming consoles, smart TVs, music streamers. The list goes on and on. And if you're like the average Aussie home, you'll probably have 10 or more devices connected to your Wi-Fi network, all fighting for that bandwidth. Well, now's the time to upgrade your home network to the next generation AC Wi-Fi from Netgear. That's 802.11ac, and that gets you the best experience from all your gadgets and devices. When you upgrade to 802.11ac Wi-Fi, you'll enjoy video and music streaming with no buffering, so it's more reliable Wi-Fi connectivity and coverage in your home. So that means faster loading websites, faster loading videos, no more buffering, email attachments are downloaded in seconds, and much, much more. So check out Netgear's range of next generation 802.11ac Wi-Fi products like modems, routers, and range extenders at netgear.com.au and do more with your devices this summer.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fenwick. Tech Guide.
Well, it's getting to that time of year where we like to get a nice book and sit by the pool or head down the beach. It is getting warmer. Summer's just around the corner. And anyone who loves a read normally increases their reading, their books they read, the number of books they read, over the summer break. A lot of us like to read on our e-readers as well, but the problem with your regular e-reader is that it's not waterproof. So taking it by the pool, taking it down the beach is really risking that device. So a lot of people don't bother. They take a physical book or just don't take anything at all. Well, Kobo has come up with the world's first waterproof e-reader, the Aura H2O. It is the world's first waterproof e-reader. It's got that nice e-ink screen, 6.8-inch e-ink high-definition screen, so that the text on the screen is razor-sharp, really easy to read. You can also adjust the font size and all those sorts of things. But the most important feature is it is waterproof. So if you literally can't put that book down and you need to take a shower, you need to sit in the bath, you can actually take it in there with you. You can dunk this to a depth of a meter. So this is not just splash proof, this is waterproof. And the fact that when water does hit the screen, it actually says it can detect that there's water on the screen and suggests you wipe it off or shake it off and continue to read again. So if you are heading down the beach, if you are sitting by the pool or want to sit in the bath, relax in a nice, nice bubble bath with your e-reader, you want to read your favorite book, then you can do that with the Kobo Aura H2O. A nice little device. We'll put our review on Tech Guide. It's got a nice size, 6.8-inch screen, so easy to hold in one hand and not too heavy either. It only weighs about 233 grams, so you can hold it for for extended periods. If you're reading a really good book, you don't want to put it down, then that's pretty light. Battery can last up to 2 months on a full charge. Hardly uses anything. Runs on the smell of an oily rag, this thing. So very easy to use, long battery life, and most importantly of all, you can take it in the shower, or you can take it in the pool, or you can take it in the bath, or you can spill a drink on it and not ruin it. The Kobo Aura H2O. One thing, it does have an ingress protection, so an IP67 rating. IP is short for ingress protection. It's also dustproof, as well as being waterproof. But here's the kicker, people. You're not going to see this till February, unfortunately. It has been released in other markets. The Australian market won't get it till February the 5th. So we're talking February 5, 2015, just over 2 months away. It has been released in overseas markets. So if you are traveling overseas, you will be able to maybe order one of these overseas, bring it home with you. But in February, it's going to be available through JB Hi-Fi, also through Kobo.com. And after that, it'll be available at Bookworld, Meijer, Harvey Norman, and Angus and Robin stores. And how much does it cost? I hear you ask. It's $229. But hopefully, you'll pick one up before February. If you're happy to wait, February 5 here in Australia. I think it's a handy device. If you love your reading and literally want to read anywhere, the Kobo Aura H2O is most definitely worth checking out. And I've done that and written a full review at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide.
Alrighty, next up we're talking Bang & Olufsen. Now this is a brand that is very well known for having unusual designs, really standout designs. They've got quite a design language all of their own. And they've just released their very first Bluetooth speaker. And we're talking the Beoplay A2. Now the first reaction I had to this story when I posted it on Tech Guide earlier today recording this on a Monday night, so I posted it on Monday morning. The first reaction I had to this was, well, okay, Bang & Olufsen, how much is it? People were joking it's going to cost $17,000. As a lot of Bang & Olufsen products do. Now, they make televisions, speaker systems, stereos, and they're priced at several thousand dollars. Well, the good news is the Bang & Olufsen BeoPlay A2 is just $479. So it's slightly more expensive than your average Bluetooth speaker. But this is actually a little bit larger than your average Bluetooth speaker. Now, let me describe it to you, the BeoPlay A2. It is kind of a flat speaker, which is an unusual shape for a speaker. You normally need a bit of volume, a bit of area inside for the sound to sort of to reverberate and create that actual output. Well, in the BeoPlay A2's case, it is actually a flat speaker. It's also got a leather handle strap, so you can literally carry it around. So you can either sit it on one side of the, there's a grill front and back with controls around the side and around the edge, or the top edge and down the side. Top edge has volume control, on-off switch, and a Bluetooth pairing button. Down the side is an auxiliary in, power, and also a USB slot. But I'll talk more about the USB slot in a moment. You can position this on its back, on its front, on its side. It's meant to offer omnidirectional sound using a technology, a Bang & Olufsen technology called True 360, omnidirectional technology. So what that means is that no matter where you're sitting in the room, you're going to get as good a sound as anyone else in the room. So there's no sweet spot, if you like. I found that was good. It sort of had a really full body. The audio had a greater volume to it, so it was full-bodied volume, I like to call it. But it lacked that finesse. It lacked that detail that other speakers have. Other speakers that are designed to be heard properly if you're sitting in front of it or for one person, it did lack a tiny little bit of clarity, but it more than made up for it in volume and also in bass. Had really strong bass as well. So if you're going to need to power a party, this is going to be very easily loud enough to handle it. It's made out of polycarbonate. It's got an aluminium core with a polymer shell. So it is pretty strong, so you can take it anywhere. It'll handle all the bumps and scrapes. And as I mentioned, it has that handle, so you can carry it everywhere. There's a picture of me holding it. Now, the USB port that I mentioned earlier, now this has got quite a battery on board, 24-hour battery as a matter of fact. So if you charge this up completely, you're going to get 24 hours of use, which is pretty impressive. But one thing you can do as well, that USB port can also act as a charger. So if you've got your smartphone and you've got your charging cable, you can get a charge off the BeoPlay A2. So if your smartphone's running down, you can connect the USB cable, the other end into your smartphone, and you're getting a charge. There's plenty of energy on board to dish out. It does have 24-hour battery capacity, as I mentioned, so a decent size battery, and you can afford to share it because the battery is going to last 24 hours on a single charge anyway. So that's pretty good news. You can remember up to 8 pairs devices. So if you've got your family might be listening to the one BeoPlay A2, can remember up to 8 devices and can also stream music via Bluetooth, of course. It is a Bluetooth speaker from your device, from up to 2 devices at once. So you can play music from 2 devices paired to it at the same time. So you can have a little DJing party. You and your friend can choose to do each song to your turn to play a different song. So the Bang & Olufsen BeoPlay A2, we've written it up on Tech Guide, our full review. You can check that out and see how many stars out of 5 I gave the speaker. So if you want to see all the details, you can check it out at techguide.com.au. Now, here's a product that is a very well-known name, well-known brand, but it is a little unusual. And I'm talking about the BlackBerry Passport. Now, the BlackBerry, as you all know, was the king of smartphones back in the day. It was probably one of the original smartphones, we could say. It was the device that allowed you to receive your emails anywhere, which at the time, and I'm talking, you know, early 2000s, 2003, 2004, 2005, 2006, BlackBerry was king. It was the go-to device for companies, governments, very secure, reliable messaging service. So it was only email. You could browse the website, but mobile internet was really nowhere at that time. But it was all about your email. Email everywhere. So you could have your email, respond to emails from anywhere, send emails, and the changes then to your mailbox, if you use it on a Bez, I had a BlackBerry when I was working at News Limited, that was attached to the BlackBerry Enterprise Server, it's Bez for short, and if I deleted a email on my BlackBerry, it would be deleted on my inbox on my desk as well, there was no double deleting. That was the power of the system, as well as that security as well. Now, for corporates, enterprise, it was king. And then a funny little thing happened. The iPhone was announced in 2007, and that absolutely changed the whole landscape. There was a BlackBerry held on to still a pretty solid market share after the first couple of years, but had been in rapid decline ever since. People had discovered the touchscreen, the app system was born, app stores opened both on the Apple side, iOS side, and the Google Play Store side as well, and people were leaving BlackBerry in droves. Which brings us through to today and a new device, a recent device, been out about a month, and that's the BlackBerry Passport. Now, this is an unusual device because of its shape. It's called the Passport because it is the same shape as that travel document, same shape as your passport. So effectively, the screen on board, not effectively, well, it is square, 4.5-inch screen, and 1400 by 1400 resolution. It is a square screen, not a traditional long screen as you'd find on your typical device like your iPhone or Samsung device. It is square and has that traditional and famous full keyboard, QWERTY keyboard. Now, that's one thing that has kept people faithful to the BlackBerry ecosystem is that keyboard. People love feeling those keys under their fingers. They can type really fast. It makes their interactions with the device, their emails and messages, a lot easier to type out because of that physical keyboard. In this case, the keyboard is straight below the bottom edge. It has no slight curve like on the BlackBerry Bold and those other devices. So you still have that, all the full keyboard under your thumbs. But with this keyboard, it's not just for typing. It also acts as a giant trackpad as well. So if you run your fingers up and down the trackpad, it will then allow you to navigate the menu system down your list of messages. You can even turn it sideways if you're scrolling a web page and scroll up and down, and that will scroll up and down the website as well because the keyboard's on the side. So it's like one of those side scroll keys that you would use on your browser. Now, the BlackBerry Passport is running the latest BlackBerry 10 operating system. That's 10.3, actually, it's running. So has things like voice control, has a 13-megapixel camera, has a really cool feature called BlackBerry Blend. Say you got your BlackBerry Passport and you want to, say, check your emails on a larger device, you can wirelessly pair the Passport to a computer, a tablet, and you can then have all your BlackBerry emails on a larger screen, and whatever you do on your linked device, whether it's a computer or a tablet, if you delete a message, it'll also be deleted on the BlackBerry as well. And once you sever the connection, once you kill the Wi-Fi, you disconnect from BlackBerry Blend, there's nothing left behind, no trace of any email on the computer or tablet that you were using. So you could borrow a person's tablet or jump on a computer in a hotel and still be able to do all your work on that larger screen with your emails and leave no traces behind. Something very important for BlackBerry, for those hardcore BlackBerry users where security is paramount. But in terms of it sitting beside a normal smartphone, I've got a couple of photos. It is an unusual looking device. It's a lot wider than a normal smartphone, so it barely fit in our back pocket, although obviously it was a snug fit, but a lot easier to fit a regular smartphone down there. Having that square screen, though, does allow websites to be easy to view websites, easy to view documents. So really aimed at the power user who needs to sort of make those document changes or create documents on the go. Multitasking's on board as well through the BlackBerry 10.3 operating system as well. Also, it's got BBM, BlackBerry Messenger, which allows you that direct messaging service, and it's now available on other platforms. So if you say, recently left left your BlackBerry to for an iPhone or an Android device, you can still use BlackBerry Messenger for to contact all your friends who are still on BBM, no matter what platform they're on. It's become this little community of people that have hung around. Even former BlackBerry users are still using BBM on a lot of other devices like iPhones and Android devices. Now, the BlackBerry Passport, it's available now. It is a very strange-looking product. It does boast a lot of great features, but it's not going to suit everyone. I think you'd have to be a real BlackBerry diehard to want to continue to use a product like this, especially when there's some terrific regular smartphones like the iPhone 6 Plus, the Samsung Galaxy Note 4, all these other great devices that are out there. BlackBerry are trying to appeal to their core customer, and if they think they're going to attract new users with a device like this, I think they may be a little bit disappointed. I think there'll be people looking for something that looks a bit more traditional. But no denying the power of the platform. If you're a BlackBerry user, worth a try. I don't think they're going to win any new customers with a device of this shape. The BlackBerry Passport, $799. You can see how many stars out of 5 I gave this device when you go to techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Okay, well, I had an interesting question from a reader on email. If you want to email me, you can do that at info@techguide.com.au. It was a parent of a young teenage boy who is tossing up whether to buy a smart watch or an activity tracker. Actually, no, the woman asked if what's the best smart watch to work with an iPhone. Needs to be under $200. And I don't want it to be too expensive because he's only a teenager. You might lose it. So I didn't want something too expensive. Okay. So my answer to that question is, well, under $200, you're going to struggle to find a smartwatch to begin with. So what I think you should look for in this instance is an activity tracker with a screen. There's a few of those. Garmin make a couple. I particularly like the Vivo Smart, which I've reviewed recently on Tech Guide. It has a little OLED screen. It has the time. It also has a Bluetooth connection to your smartphone, including iPhone. I paired mine with my iPhone to relay all of your messages. Your even tells you when you're getting a phone call. You can't answer the call on your device, though, but it does tell you that one's coming in so you don't miss it. It is, until the Apple Watch comes out, there's no other watch that works as effectively with an iPhone than this activity tracker. So it's part smartwatch, part activity tracker, kind of the best of both worlds, I think. So to answer to that question, if you want to spend less than $200, you want all the features of a smartwatch, one that links to an iPhone, then I think your best bet's probably the Vivo Smart from Garmin. And I've reviewed that at techguide.com.au. And that is the end of our show for this week. Everything we've spoken about, though, you can check out www.techguide.com.au so you can see everything that I've spoken about, read all those reviews, all those reports at techguide.com.au. And as we mentioned, you can get in touch with us, info@techguide.com.au. We're also going to kick off a new way of interacting with the show. As you, some of you may know, I've co-developed an app called VoiceByte. That's voice with B-Y-T-E for iOS and Android. And we are going to accept questions for the Tech Guide Help Desk through VoiceByte. So my suggestion would be this: download VoiceByte for iOS or Android. Create an account. If you want to get in touch with me, you should first of all look out for me as a listener. So you can then be listening to what I'm saying and I'll listen to you straight back. And that will allow you then, if you want to, and this will come up in my feed. The reason I want you to listen to me is so that I see all your voice bites. You can simply, in the clip title, have #AskStephen. So if you do have a burning question, I will play your voice bite on the show. So you'll hear your voice on my podcast, on Tech Guide podcast, and I will answer that in the help desk. So get onto voice bite, download that, create an account, and send me your question in the clip title, #AskStephen. Special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is always Netgear. Thanks for listening. It's been great having you with us once again, and we look forward to you joining us again next week. So, until then, stay safe and stay connected.